Blog Talk Radio.
We'd like to welcome you to Missing Pages of History. This is a program that's dedicated to serve those communities and people whose contributions and values on world humanity, which has been left out of the history books. We want to come to tell our story from our perspective, and we'd like to hear yours. Join us every bi-weekly on Saturdays at 12 noon as we begin to fill in our missing pages of history. And today, we have our analysts and contributors of Missing Pages of History. They will give us a perspective on what's going on in Nicodem Woods and some of the most recent current events from a perspective that you very rarely hear from. So right now, we'd like to start with Emmanuel out of North Carolina. We'd like to welcome him to Missing Pages, and as always, in terms of his insightfulness, Emmanuel, what's going on in Nicodem Woods, and what is some of your take on some of the recent events that's been taking place in various communities?
Well, how's everybody doing today? I want to start off with things that are happening in Ferguson, Missouri, outside in the outskirts of Ferguson. Another African-American young male got shot at 18 years old by police. They claim he had a gun. He shot at him three times. He returned fire 17 times, killing the young man of 18 years of age. They say their parents, everybody say he was unarmed. It's another one of those things, again, that people understand one thing. The police are very lawless. A lot of them are very lawless. Been like this for a long time. They're going to stay this way because, again, most of them are not qualified to be police officers. Most of them, again, for nepotism. Their granddaddy was one, or their daddy was one, or their first cousin or uncle of this. This is what the police departments are made out of, and that is their safety net. Their safety net is retired from the police department as high as rank as they can so they can take the money out of the city and go to the suburbs and live a happy life called retirement. This is what that's all about. And most of these cities have over 80-90% police officers are white, basically. City council is white, like in Ferguson. The mayor is white. And the city is over 21,000 people, two-thirds of the people African-American, with no positions. That is their safety net. Make sure they get a good retirement, retire in Florida, retire on the outskirts of their town or whatever, and live a good life, and they have money and everything else that they need. This is what they do. Everything that they talk about, welfare, that's the best welfare I know right there. That's way better than welfare ever going to pay. And the main thing they have to do is make sure they give you enough traffic citations to support what they're doing. They need to support that. So Ferguson, again, you know, you need to vote. There was a probably disqualification on how many people had registered in Ferguson. I think they said it was 3,800. That's a lie. 128 people are officially registered to vote for the new registration. Not 3,000, but a little over 100. That is the truth. So again, watch the lies. They print the newspaper. They do all the reporting. They do this and that. So understand that. They're going to make sure they keep their base like they're going to keep it. They want you to know what I'm telling you. This is what goes on. This is their safety net. This is the best safety net of all. When you retire getting $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year as a police officer, as a fire department person, whatever, fireman, whatever, that's why they're where they are. And positions up, you might say, well, less skills than most. You don't need a lot of skill to be a police officer. You don't need a lot of skill there. It's not required, but be a law enforcement when you know that you're an outlaw, and most of them are outlaws. That's where they get them. That's why they get them, because they're outlaws. And they to protect and serve. They're going to protect them for things that they do. Accountability is not a part of their resume. You do that, and we'll protect you. We just got to find a way. How do we know? We're going to live, make sure that it happens, that would be in your favor. So do what you need to do. We're going to keep the peace because keep this foot on their neck, whether they like it or not. It's just the way it is. All this stuff in the extension of slavery, nothing more control Control, control, control. See, once you lose control, everybody got the same thing you got. There's no more control anymore. So understand the racial strife that's happening across this country, not only in Ferguson, but all over this country, that most of the police officers, they're very lawless. Look what happened in New York. That's lawlessness. Go do a background check on these guys and see what they're all about. You'll find out that some of these guys or somebody's son, somebody's uncle, it's a family structure of a safety net that they keep among themselves to make sure they stay in control. And this is what this is all about. I understand you can beat them only in courts and at the voting booth. You vote them out, they are no longer there. And it should not be the way it is. Like, again, 275 years of slavery, you got 100 years of Jim Crow segregation, you got all this stuff. And that's what they work the hardest at doing. They don't work hard. They work hard at doing this. They work very difficult. And from Congress on down, they work hard at being made sure you divide and conquer. They're going to keep us divided, and they're going to keep us conquered if we don't do something about it. It's very simple. But that's on the home front. Of course, Ebola is on the home front also. And Ebola is, that is getting a lot of worldwide press in West Africa. That is what's going on. Because, again, you got to stop it there before you can do anything with it coming here. And one person has died here only from Ebola. They're screening, heavy screening is in New York because 93% of the people come from West Africa have to come through New York. So, of course, heavy screening is going to be there. They try to take the check on everybody's temperature to a certain degree, but that can be in you for 2 or 3 weeks, and the temperature might not even show at that particular time. You're already in here, so you got to be very careful with that. We can detain it for a while. We can do something with it. We have the right serum to make sure it doesn't happen a certain way. And we got the right, we have the CDC is on top of it, so that's good. There's no CDC in West Africa. There are any hospitals at all there. I pray, God for the volunteers that go there trying to stop it while it's right there. But again, once you don't clean up the disinfectory type things and infrastructure of Africa, and well as West Africa, you're going to have things like outbursts of things like Ebola. Because again, it's all about taking care of the waste matter, having infrastructure and treatment plants to make sure that you take the disease and everything out of this, out of Africa to a certain point. So you're always going to have some outbreaks of certain diseases. But this is one of the worst ones I think I've ever seen, even talked about or read about. But that's on the, Ebola's on the front page of current events. Also, ISIS. Oh, boy, you got to get rid of this. This is something different. Beheading people is not the way you do anything. And, of course, the extreme Islamic group, ISIS, you got to eradicate this group. This group has to go. So whatever it takes to get rid of them, this has to be done. If it takes, and I guess 47 nations involved now, they need a lot of support, a lot of money to do what they're doing. And of course, they got to eat. They got to take over places so they can survive. If you, next again, you kill them at the neck, the head will fall. We got to kill them at the neck. Keep bombing them, keep bombing them, keep bombing them, and bombing things that make them, make them successful, or you call their success. Their success is beheading someone. That is their success, is what they call it. But those are probably the top three things right now. It's police brutality, accountability. Make sure that the court system handles them in a certain way. And that's what they're doing a certain way. We got to make sure again that the system makes them accountable for their actions. If they assault someone, they kill someone, if she tried for murder, she'll be tried like everybody else. And they're not being done this way. Again, that's racism. So we got to make sure that we point out the tentacles that we know are negative in racism. And from the Supreme Court on down, we have to attack the judges, make sure they're doing their job. A lot of them don't do their job. They're very racist. They're racist judges. Always have been. And they elect these racist judges. So again, they can lock you up and not lock them up. Who's really doing the crimes. But again, crimes are separated to a certain extent. They are separated, and sentencing is separated to a certain extent. But again, some of this stuff is 21 years old. I mean, some of the disparity in sentencing between a person that permit a crime of color and one that don't, 21 years can be that much disparity in robbery and embezzlement. 2, 3, 4 years, you get 25 years. Doesn't make any sense to me. And so a lot of this we have to look at. We have to vote people out. Make sure on the ballot you know who Republicans are and who are Democrats. Make sure you know what they stand for and everything else. Pull their record up on the Internet so you see what they say and who they are. And get rid of these people. These people have to go. We ever have a United States. We don't have a United States. These states are not united. You got someone to secede. Texas, they want to let Texas go. Who need it? Let South Carolina go. Who needs it? So let them go. No tax money. When they travel to our states, they have to pay. Make them pay. Secede from the Union. Please go. We don't need you. You're not going to be united with us. We don't need you. Everybody in the United States is supposed to be the same. All equal, not inequities and everything. That's what we have, inequities and everything. But further on into our program shows, I'm going to talk about things like inequality. I'm going to talk about the safety net. I'm going to talk about Social Security, the safety net. I'm going to talk about food stamps, who gets them, this type of thing. So you stay alert to our station. There's going to be some wide opening things that we need to hear about and what's going on. And the last thing I want to talk about is, not too much about it, the schools in Philadelphia. I'll give you an example of what's going on in the Pennsylvania governor there. He's doing what he shouldn't do, but he's doing what people are directing him to do. Because the state, the schools in the rural areas, they're not going to go without funding. They're not going to go without funding. They're going to take the money from the city area where the taxes are being basically done, are being collected, and give it to the rural areas, the suburban areas. That's what they're going to do. They'll find a way to do it. And again, they're going to make sure they do it and going to lie to you and tell you what they're doing. So in Philadelphia, everybody go on the Internet and check on the Philadelphia school system, what is going on, and it's also the state of Pennsylvania, and see where your tax dollars in Philadelphia are going. Because they're the higher taxes because the city is there. Of course, you get city taxes from real estate and everything else. So a lot of money is being taken there, from the cable TVs, everything. Everybody's charging taxes on everything. Higher traffic fines, to keep your car in the city and everything else. So you look at high insurance rates. So all the money is being there and being trickled out to the suburban areas to make sure they got the best of school systems, especially charter schools. So this is what this is all about. This is a new way of doing this. And they got all the other governors, they know better. They know it's wrong, but they got the governor of Pennsylvania being the first one to try it out and see if it's going to work. And what he's doing is working so far, because they're lying to what they're doing. They're lying. So I'll be putting a little bit more on Philadelphia, go on the Internet and check on the Philadelphia school system of Pennsylvania, what's going on there. And the governor has basically taken over the school system on a budgetary thing and also with a council type thing. That is like a commission of 5 people, 3 of them from the governor's office, and 2 are from the mayor's office of Philadelphia. Whoa. And we're talking about Philadelphia now. They should have 3, and he should have 2. But again, he had 3 appointees from the governor's office and 2 from the mayor's office of Philadelphia. So you see something wrong with the picture where you can get started. Something wrong with that picture. But again, they have an excuse for everything. They have a lie for everything. They can really lie. That's their resume. Start the resume off with lying. Like, again, slavery wouldn't have been around for 275 years. You've been lying, saying it was unprofitable. If something's unprofitable, why would you keep it around for 275 years? You ain't making no money. See, it doesn't make any sense. When you ask them that, their eyes get big, their nose drip, their mouth quiver, the neck go to one side and the ears sort of shut down on one ear shuts down. When you ask them the same this question, if it's so unprofitable, why would she keep it around for 275 years? See? So any person with an IQ of 50 can answer that one. Most of them don't have an IQ of 50, no hair. They got an IQ of racism, which is about 50. So that's a report coming from Mr. Joyner. Thank you again. Please keep tuned. But I will keep you guys abreast of what's going on. Some new folks coming for the coming year. I'm getting everything charted for that. So you're going to learn a lot if you listen to Missing Pages of History.
To our next contributor analyst, we have Susie out of the state of Virginia. Susie, also welcome to Missing Pages. And what else in the news that we can use? What's going on in your community, Susie?
Okay, the basically one thing that's going on at this time is an issue of discrimination as usual. It continues to go on. We had a gentleman out of Bristol, which is in the Roanoke area of Virginia, Billy Joe B.J. Wolf. He finally settled with the Virginia Department of Transportation from 2010, job discrimination. And he ended up, they agreed to pay him $70,000. And he also was a veteran employee. And they did unnecessary things such as drug tests, rigorous safety audits, baseless discipline, verbal abuse, and sabotage of his reputation. All of this because they didn't want him to advance to management. And it's finally settled, but although the Department of Transportation denies allegations of any wrongdoing. And this is just one example that's continuously going on in the jobs. And the thing of it is, it's just to let people know you still have an avenue of pursuing when you feel that you're wrongfully discriminated against.
And I believe, Susie, in that case, the major issue is that just didn't want to promote to management, even though he has the credentials and been there for years. Is that correct?
Yes, and also the director to not deal with these issues, what she did was she resigned from the department so she wouldn't have to deal with the issue.
Wow, this 2014, the more things change, the more they remain the same, huh? Well, to our listening audience, this is Missing Pages of History. As always, we'd like to have your feedback. You are welcome to call in and share with us and tell us what's going on in the neck of your woods and give us your take on some of the current events. You are welcome to call in at 818-337-0016, or you can join us on our Mr. Page's History chat line. Feel free to join us on our chat line. What we're going to do, we see we have a couple callers that have been on listening. I believe we can call off your last one number, and you can tell us what's going on in the neck of your wood. I believe we are caller 8488. Caller 8488. Welcome to Mr. Page of History. Your question or comment, please. Yes, caller 8488.
Hello?
Yes, caller. You're welcome to Mr. Page of History. Your question or comment, please. What's going on in the neck of your wood?
I'm calling from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. My name is June, and I'm glad to hear once again that Missing Pages of History is providing vital information to the community across the USA. But I just wanted to touch base on what I think Mr. Joyner alluded to it, what's happening with the school systems here in Philadelphia. Recently, the school system here has only been in progress for maybe a month. Just last week, this School Reform Commission that they have here pulled the whammy on the 15,000 teachers and counselors, the nurses and secretaries that work here within the city division. They actually canceled the union's contract, their contract, for the schools. Now, what has happened as a result? You have the Philadelphia Federation of Teachers, along with the American Federation of Teachers Union Presidents, coming together, letting the city know, Mayor Nutter, who, along with other political state leaders here, are backing that contract cancellation. They seem to, at least the mayor seems to think that it's going to make or provide $54 million, I think that's the number he quoted, this year alone, if the teachers began to pay their own healthcare premiums. Now, they're asking teachers to pay anywhere from about 5 to 13%, when prior to the cancellation since last week, they were paying nothing. Now, as a result of doing that, the schools are already in trouble. We know that there's going to be a backlash. First of all, the teachers walked out last week, and the students along with them, to protest this move. Second of all, we know they're going to court. The Federation, the American Federation of Teachers president is going to court to fight this. Non-union supporters are suggesting that now's the time to get rid of that SRC that's making all the money, going into, you know, the money's going into their pockets, and come up with a better idea. Maybe have an independent school board reform commission or something. But they want to get rid of them. But I just thought it was a month the school has opened, they pulled the whammy on them. And we do need to go to the polls in November. I don't know if they're going to provide referendum statements or votes coming up in November, but the public here in Philadelphia need to stand behind the teachers and fight City Hall, Governor Corbett, and everybody who's really trying to shut down their schools.
All right, Carl, we'd like to thank you for giving your perspective on Nicky Woods and the City of Brother Love. We now would like to go to our next caller that's been waiting patiently. Caller 3330. Caller 3330. Welcome to Missing Page of History. Your question or comment, caller. Caller 3330. Are you there? Okay, I guess if we have callers that down, we will go to Mr. Joyner, back to Mr. Joyner. Mr. Joyner, based upon what's going on with you out here in Philadelphia, and earlier you alluded to the issue of voting. One of the things I saw recently, as of yesterday, I saw a poll where they were talking about how this voter ID policy now, where you have to go to polls after an IDs, how they have already projected that less people of color will be voting because of that. How do you deal with this question? Make sure we don't lose many voters as relates to voting.
Well, what happened is that when you lose, the Republicans lost. They have to do everything they can and make sure, from gerrymandering to ID to closing the polls early on the weekends, they have to make sure that they control that. They try to win any way they can. And this is what they're doing. They form different commissions, like the call in Philadelphia said, I point that commission, I would think of system five people, three from the governor's office, two from the mayor's office. So you know something wrong with that picture. And of course, people are retiring in their school system like everywhere else, and they want to get paid, retirement when they get paid. So now the problem is that we want to make sure people have been in the system for 30 or 40 years, and most of them are white, make sure they get paid, get their retirement, so they can move on to Florida. See, this is the safety that I want to talk about, this safety net. This is what this officer is underlining stuff much further than that. People think that's about the system. It's about the system. The beneath system of 30 years ago, where people got to get paid when they retired, and don't retire with $60,000 or $70,000 a year, and not with $15,000 and $20,000 a year. And these are people getting this kind, going to get this kind of money. This is the safety net I'm talking about that we fail to realize. They know this. I know this. But very few of us know this. I got taught this. This is why the safety net is out there. And this is why they're doing the most money left now. And this system is in the educational system because the lottery sort of propped that up. And they're making money. The guy here is the highest paid, the lottery superintendent here, head of the lottery, he's the highest paid guy in North Carolina, over $300,000 a year. Where he gets paid for doing nothing, basically. And 90% of the people work getting paid this kind of money over six figures, they are basically white. They're going to get retirement. They're going to get their money. They have you here, speckle you here and there. You about six, I think it's six of them in the hierarchy. They're not making no really no big money, but they got titles on them. Well, you got six getting retired. Let's say the number's 100. So 94 people are going to get a bunch of money, and six blacks get a bunch of money. But they're going to pitulate the black people, the six. They're going to tell you how many it is. Well, I'm telling you what it is. So this is what it's all about. We got to watch the numbers. See, numbers tell you anything. I think the caller talked about the 54 million. Whoa. It takes 540 million, not 54 million. But this is where numbers is the name of the game. Where's the 54 million gone? Don't you need 10 times that much? Of course you do. You tell them you got 60,000 students, and you telling me it's over $7,000 per student. Well, 7 times 6 is 42. That's $420 million. So where you come with $54 million at? Then you're decreasing the teachers' pay because what you're doing, they got to pay for their health benefits now. They got to come out of their pocket. You ain't gave them a raise. They're making less. If they're making 40 grand a year, if their health care is 4 or 5 grand a year, now they're back to 35 grand a year. See, so we got to look at the numbers, what they're putting at you. They're good with this stuff. They make sure they keep their pockets full. They're not going to decrease. They increase. White-collar jobs increase there by 11%. So anyway, around the country, from CEOs, I make almost $11 million a year. They make sure that their guys and their cohorts keep their money. Of course, again, who's going to buy the Rolex watches? Who's going to take the first-class airline trips? I mean, who's going to support the casinos? Who's going to support the $2,000, $3,000 night hotel rooms? You have to make money to support that. Who's going to support that real estate in New York with places cost $20, $30 million? Who can buy it? Who can qualify for that? They're going to keep it this way. Understand that. The safety net they have, I explained it numerous times. It's not about food stamps. It's not about vouchers. Not about none of that. What is $14 million compared to what is $14 billion for welfare recipients opposed to $380 billion for subsidizing? Same money, same, come out the same bowl. Then nobody wants to explain the bowl. Same bowl to come out of. $380 million. I was looking at some contracts the other day. Government contracts, who they go to. Not one minority contractor at all. Zero in the billions of dollars. They take your tax money and make sure they keep it. They make sure they keep it and make sure they tax you as much as they can. The middle class and lower middle class and the poor, they pay the taxes. Because they can't write theirs off, nothing write off. But they got loopholes for them to write theirs off. But again, who can go on the cruise ships? Who can do all the stuff they're doing? People have to make money to do that. And as soon as you show up, they make an image of you showing up. Oh, it's a level playing field. How can it be a level playing field? Show me. Tell me. When the average white retire with $131,000 a year, that's the average, and you retire less than $6,000. Slavery all over again. And sophisticated slavery is our prison system. They don't care about educating people in Philadelphia and Baltimore. I mean, Newark, New York. They don't care. I'm going to put you in jail. Make more money in the prison system. By the way, that's went up $10,000 to private enterprises. That's went up $10,000 more per year for an inmate. It's $75,000 opposed to $65,000 now. Private enterprise, mainly in three states, Florida, Texas, and California. 80% people of color in the prison system. Don't have the lawyers, and the system don't work for you because the judges who sentence you, most of them own, have a stake in the enterprises. They're definitely going to send you there for a long time so they can get paid. It's very simple. 24 think tanks that think this way. This is what they do. How do we keep the money in check? and how do we distract on the other side to keep our base distracted with crazy stuff like taxes, discrimination, President Obama, this, that, that, that. President Obama not even running for office. Every senatorial race has his name coming up. He's not on the ballot. But this is the schematics of the Republicans. This is what they do. They don't know anything else. Most of them are racist in Congress. They know they are. They know the justice system is racist because that's what locks people up. They want to keep you in prison, get free labor at 35 cents an hour. I'm going to talk about it one day, about the free labor they get in the different court system in Georgia, Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi, what's going on there, another extension of slavery, modern slavery. But this is what they're all about. And when you point it out to them, they don't like it. They don't see the same thing as you see because they're wired different. They're wired for prejudice. They ride for opportunity. We'll ride for oppression. Understand the two O's. One is opportunity and one is oppression. Understand that. And you, long, you keep you tuning right in. Sucker. If
let
you keep you tuning
right
in. To,
Let me stop you for a second. We do have a caller statement where we can go back one more time, see if we can get this caller in. Caller 3330, welcome to Mr. Paisley History. Your question or comment, please.
I'd like to make a comment, and I just want to further the points made by Brother Joyner. And this is something that a lot of people may know, but I want to put things in historical context. But in the state of Mississippi, to become a judge, the minimum qualification you need is a high school diploma. So given how entrenched that state is in racism, for those that do have control of the resources and control and major influence there, all they have to do is just put a family member on the bench because the minimum you need is a high school education. That's just telling you in regards to some of the decisions made. I don't think it's an accident. It's clear that was set forth for a reason and set forth for dangerous precedent as well.
And the call is correct because they call them magistrates. A lot of them own stores. You have to own a piece of property, be in ownership in North Carolina and South Carolina, different places. And I've seen this when I did my research, I was doing my paper. And what happened was that a guy was actually pumping gas. He became the magistrate, and about 15 minutes went back to the back of his store, he became the judge. So he is true what it's minimum. The education was eighth grade, but now it's high school to become a magistrate. Well, they're same as judges, they do you know, whatever. But the main thing is they get money. If you have dice to Monopoly game in your car, they can charge you $125 for having dice in your car to a Monopoly game. So you can have dice hanging on your mirror up there. Have two dice hanging, that's for gambling. And they can charge you for that. You can have a deck of cards in your car, and they can charge you for that X amount of dollars.
Are you for real?
Yeah, so these are kind of things we're talking about.
True?
Yeah, these are kind of things you're talking about. My wife, by the way, she got charged about 15 years ago. She was speeding, and of course they stopped her. So she had, she went to the place to get and meet them there. He took them there, and she went to a store. Went to the back of the store, had an office set up, and he was the magistrate. $50. Just to get the money, because that's how they make their money. People coming through town speeding. That's why the limits are coming through some town to 25. School they open on Saturday, but 25. They don't put Saturday and Sunday's okay to go 35 or 40. They want you to do 25 all the time. So what they've done now, they have changed some of the signs. So on the weekends you can go 40 miles an hour or 20. But they've taken them back to 25. You think it's still 40 when you came through last month, and all of a sudden that's 25 and you speeding. Yeah, magistrate's education, he's right. Education can be 12th grade, you can run for judge. Don't have to have no law degree. None of this stuff is there. You have to have nothing to do with with criminal justice system or degree in criminal justice, nothing to do with nothing. All you got to do is have a high school education.
Yes, what you're saying and what my caller is suggesting, is that well known throughout the country? Does
no.
criteria just
oh.
be a high school?
No.
And you can be?
No. North Carolina, South Carolina, Mississippi, Arkansas, Georgia, Louisiana, education, 12th grade.
Wow.
Also Texas. Also Texas, by the way. That's right. It can be an appointed position opposed to a voting position. And most of them are nepotism appointments. Their uncle is a judge. The uncle's nephew is a judge, a magistrate. This is what they do. They keep the money in the family. This is our justice system. In the urban areas of the southern towns that have 7, 8, 9, 10,000 people in it. That's right.
This is the missing pages for me today. I never heard such limitation on being in a position of authority where you can affect people's lives, and you're only talking about just a high school diploma.
That's right.
Let me go back to my other listening audience, viewer, see if she has anything else she wants to say. Call 8488.
Yes, hello. I was just listening to the last point made. My question is, if they are appointed by family members or whatever president may be involved, what is it that they're within the state? What is it that they can do to get appointments taken off the roster of the justice system? Is there anything that the voters can do to say we no longer want these positions made as appointed positions and change them to some other kind of position?
Very difficult, because the city council has to be involved in that, and also the state legislature has to be involved in it. The county has to be involved in it. It has to be a referendum, and also it has to be on the ballot as such. It never gets there. It has never gotten there. It will never get there because, again, who controls that particular arena? Because every major city and some of the smaller cities, they have a mayor and they have what they call a city manager. And the city manager is the one that handles the purse strings. He's the one awards the contracts and everything else. What comes in for everybody comes through the city manager. The mayor's just there. He's just there. The city manager actually runs that city. And most of them are Caucasians. All the ones I know are Caucasians. I don't know any, you know, even the ones we got here in Raleigh, Durham, everywhere else, they're all Caucasian guys. Greenville, the mayors are black, but the city manager is white, and they control the purse strings. So it's got to go on a referendum, has to go on the ballot, had to go before the city council, which is mainly 80 or 90% white. Again, they have the gerrymandering is in place to make sure that they don't come up, or the votes they need to get there, they make sure it's controlled. They got us all boxed in one zip code base. You got one rep for one whole zip code, and Ferguson, 21,000 people, almost 70% of African American, but the way they got them gerrymandered, they can't win. The mayor's white, the police chief is white, everybody's white, the way they got the voting pattern down. They got you all in one, it says 20 zip codes, and most blacks are in zip code 10, 11, and 12. They put 10, 11, and 12, you got one person represent you, and the other zip codes, they got, you know, said per 1,000, they got to represent them, but they put you in one zip code. So when you vote, you only get one rep. That's why there's only one city council person in Ferguson. Because the way they got the district, the way they got the gerrymandering down there. When black people vote, they want to vote all come out of one district, regardless. And that's what they're doing across the country now. I just went to look at some in Greenville, North Carolina, which is basically around about 60% black. And everybody there basically is white to a certain extent. They're doing the school district the same way. If you don't live in this particular area, you can't go to this school district. So they're doing... I just had to move my grandchild. She lived in a predominantly white area, basically, where the judges and lawyers and people affluent live. That's where my son lives. And again, they say you're on the wrong bus. You don't, they don't know what you. So he has to bring her in his car to to, you know, for the bus to drive to, you know, to get on the bus. He has to pick up in a car to do that. So, you know, it just way they're doing things. Once they discover this stuff and look at this stuff, the city planning group, which is mainly consists of whites, they know the deal. They the one do. You have to go to the city planning. Once you go there, because those plans are 20 years ahead, you know, ahead. Once you go, you can know what's going on. And that's what a lot of people are doing now, especially in the larger cities now, like in Baltimore, they're doing that to do certain things. Because they're going to take what they want as long as they make money. And they moved out a lot of Americans in Baltimore to build those stadiums where they lived. They was forced out, basically. And they built the, you're not going to stop in the way of progress to a certain extent. So they moved them out. When they moved them out, moved them to an area where the district was, where all of them come out the same district, then they had four or five reps. Then they got one rep. They used to have four or five. Then they got one where they moved them to. And this is come the things they take and do. They move you out of a certain area to take it over. They call it urban renewal, is what they called it. Urban renewal. They give a name for everything when they do something. But look at the underneath of what they're doing. When they where are you going to put them at? Well, we got a place for them. Put them all in this particular zip code, 17 in Baltimore. So all of them now get the same rep for six times as many people. And the weather of outside line white areas where some of the blacks move to, you only got but 3 or 4% black there. Well, they can't change anything with 3 or 4%. But you could change to when you were 60, 70, 80%, you could change things. They got the mayor.
Mr. Joyner, I think it's time for us black people to consider to secede from the union.
Mm-hmm. Because you are not a part of the union. You're not part of this union. You're not part of this. They want you, but I read a book called Black Labor, White Wealth. Everyone needs to read that book. Black Labor, White Wealth. So how can you call me lazy if I'm your labor? You got what you got because of me. Because you didn't pay me no money. You didn't pay me one dime. That's why I get tired of hearing people come on TV, special whites, talk about their mother and their grandmother. They worked. They got paid. Well, my grandmother worked, grandma. We didn't get paid. So don't try to keep making your story my story. Because we're not the same story. Don't even try that with me. Some blacks buy that. Well, you know, no, ain't no way you know. You didn't come in chains. You came on here on a boat, but you didn't come chained up and shackle up and then get paid and got whipped and got beat and got raped and couldn't own nothing. We scared to talk history. We don't talk it. We got 8 black millionaires in this country. Just 8? Just 8. That's amazing. Every state has more millionaires than black folk altogether. Every state got more. I mean, they got more than 7. Every state. Even South Dakota got more than 7. North Dakota got more than 7. New York got, what, 35,000. And you think we done made it? We got to make it. We should. Please, give me a break.
Okay.
The New York more millionaires than all the black millionaires in this country, which is 35,000, that's worth $4 million. 35,000 black millionaires in this country. New York has more, one state, than a whole population of 43 million. That's amazing.
On that note, we're going to have to stop you. We'd like to thank all of our contributors and analysts for Missing Pages of History and our listeners, audience, and participants. We'd like to thank them today for their contribution to this program. And we often say that without information, people cannot think. And without an organization, they cannot think clearly. We'd like to encourage people to go out, join an organization, help your organization, help your community by serving your community in various ways. But always remember that there are pages that we must fill in history, and once we fill our missing pages of history, then we will have our story. We'll know the truth that we can use as a vehicle to carry us forward. Until next time, we'd like to thank you for coming to your homes this evening by listening to Missing Pages of History, and remember that, as Frederick Douglass once stated, where there is someone who is engaging to make progress happen, which he calls struggle, there will always be progress. Till next time, we thank you for listening to Missing Pages in History. And don't forget to support our upcoming raffle drawing, which will take place on November the 15th. You can listen to WCLM, 1450 AM, in Richmond, Virginia, on the